Peace be with all of you. And today, we are going back to the book of John. And the number of people who can attend today's service is limited. So those of you who wish to join the John series but unable to come on site, you can receive the message online. Or some brethren who are outside of our church and who keep following our church messages, we can send a message to you also. So the last time before the month of family messages, we have stopped at John chapter 18. And so John chapter 18, we'll talk about how Jesus was to be arrested in the Garden of Gethsemane. And after that, he was brought before the high priest and before Pilate. And so eventually, he received his final sentence and was crucified on the cross. So we must ask, why did the Bible record so clearly about Jesus undergoing trial? Why didn't the Bible just simply mention Jesus was arrested and was crucified? So over here, there was very important message to be emphasized. So within this detailed emphasis, what the Bible wanted to say is that what Jesus had undergone was the most unjust kind of sentence. So whether it's the high priest or Pilate, they have the highest position among people. But they imposed the greatest crime on the sinless, on the most sinless person. They attributed the most serious sin on the holiest person. And why did God allow that? Because Jesus Christ, He wanted to bear all the sins of His people. And so we sinners, we often will say something. We always like to say it is unfair. Sometimes we suddenly sin and we suddenly are weak. But we just claim that it is unfair how people treat us in certain ways. So we like to defend ourselves. So many a times we must know that even if we don't have great mistakes, we have small errors, and so we have faults. And our greatest problem is we are unwilling to repent. And so our Lord Jesus, when He went through this unjust sentence, He bore all our sins on our behalf. Another thing why the Bible records so clearly Jesus' sentence, because the Bible wanted to point out in this world, humans and humanism are suddenly at odds with God. So those who judge Jesus Christ, whether it's high priest, King Herod, or even Pilate, they represent the powers of the world. They sit on the they sit on the positions of power in the world, but they are corrupted. But you say, Pastor, you know, in this world, there are also very good government and law-abiding societies. Indeed so. And that's why in this world, we can see certain relative justice. But it's just relative, but not absolute justice. And although there are relative justice, you will realize that when it concerns spiritual things or God's will or God's glory, then these people, they don't care. Although there are certain relative justice system, but they will certainly not go after God's glory. So up to a point, they realize that for the sake of human interests, they will sacrifice spiritual things and religion. And so this is something we must understand. Jesus, He was totally sinless, but He came to this world to save sinners. But in His whole life, He was hated by the world. When He was born, King Herod wanted to kill Him. In His whole life of service, Pharisees and scribes and the high priest went against him, and eventually he was oppressed and sentenced by the highest powers of the world. And so from here you will know that this world eventually will sacrifice the spiritual things. Now this world had ever sacrificed Jesus of Nazareth in order to preserve their own land. So the high priests, what they love most is their own rights and their own nation, but they rejected the true King of the Jews, our Lord Jesus. It's all for their own interests. So when we live in this world, Christians, we must know that we Christians on earth, we will not get perfect justice. Sometimes when we treat others kindly, people may not repay us with kindness but evil. When we want to evangelize to people of the world, we may be persecuted. And so when we want to pursue the Lord, our family members persecute us. When we submit to our husband or love our wives, we don't receive the same treatment. So you must know that our Lord Jesus Christ, why must he became flesh, die and resurrect? Because he wants to build his eternal kingdom, because this earthly kingdom will pass away. So this is something you must understand. Of course, we Christians, when we live on earth, we are under the protection of God. Although we live under the relative justice system of the world, we do not seek absolute peace, because absolute justice will come only when Jesus returns. So do not feel imbalanced because of seeing injustice. Otherwise, you may make yourself sin. So we need to apply this truth. And so today, another thing we will also see is Peter denied Christ 3 times. And so in the book of Luke, our Lord Jesus already told Peter that Satan wanted to sift his faith, the faith of Peter. So from the human perspective, Peter failed thoroughly. And all disciples also failed. And what does this want to say? It wants to point out that humans will all fail. Only our Lord Jesus, He is the only victorious one. Because our Lord, how did he have victory? He already prayed for Peter. And so, although Peter was weak and he denied Christ, but he did not lose his faith. And so you must understand this. Peter is different from Judas. Maybe on that night itself, in the eyes of the disciples, if they see what Peter had done and what Judas had done, they are almost the same. But because Peter was elected and loved by the Lord, and the Lord had interceded for him, so he will not lose his faith. And so after going through the 3 times of denials and after going through trials, then on the day of Pentecost, when Holy Spirit filled him, Peter rose up and preached to 3,000 people and tell them that Jesus is the Christ. And so on that day, 3,000 people, they repented, they were born again. And so sometimes when our faith is weak, we were very miserable and ashamed at that moment. And so in such situations, do not look to yourself. Because we humans, when we fail, we keep looking at ourselves. How lousy we are. I want to prove that I love the Lord and I want to prove my worth. So do not look at yourself, but you must look to the Lord. Look to the Lord. Because only the Lord is victorious. Everyone else failed. The greatest king in the Old Testament, King David, he also failed. In the New Testament, the great apostle of the Lord, Peter, he also failed. So only the Lord is victorious. So today you come to church, your faith is kept, and throughout your life you met so many trials, you didn't stumble, but your faith keeps growing and you are always humble before the Lord. Do not think that it's because of your own humility, but it's because the Lord's grace keeps you. So only the Lord is victorious. And the Lord allows us to go through trials and go through failures. And God will also help us be strengthened. So do not look to yourself, but look to the Lord. Our Lord already told Peter that you will deny me 3 times. So our Lord already ordained this, that you must understand that from the perspective of humans, that is also because there is certain problems with Peter's life and he had been giving the devil certain footholds. So sometimes there are certain channels in our life. We always think that we are very wise and we didn't reflect upon ourselves and there are pride in us. And if you do not deal with all these things and suddenly one day when a huge trial comes, you will fall. But even so, those whom the Lord loves, God will humble them so that one day God will lift them up again. So we can learn from many perspectives here. Sometimes when we think we have stood firm, we must be careful because the next moment we may fall. So today we look at the charges by the high priest toward Jesus and how Peter denied Christ. So let's take a look at John chapter 18. John chapter 18, verse 12. Then the detachment of the soldiers with his commander and the Jewish officials arrested Jesus. They bound him. And this is permitted by the Lord. Otherwise, no one can arrest Jesus. And brought Jesus first to Annas. So circle this name, Annas. Because one of the themes surrounds Annas. And Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, the high priest that year. So, Caiaphas was the one who had advised the Jews that it would be good if one man died for the people. So, in chapter 11, we see this, that Caiaphas ever said this, that one person will die for the whole nation so that the Jews can be preserved. Because they are so afraid that their Jewish nation will be taken away by the Romans. Now, Annas is more evil than Caiaphas. So, Annas in AD 6 to 15 years, he was ever the high priest of the Jews. And so he ever had certain tension with the Roman government. And so the Romans took away his position of this high priest. But this person is very smart. So he still holds great powers within the system of the high priest. So after that, 4 of his sons became high priest, and now his son-in-law, Caiaphas, he's also the high priest. And now when Jesus was arrested in Gethsemane, he was first brought, not first to Caiaphas, but he was first brought to Annas. And so from here, we will know that Annas, he held certain power. And he had certain enmity against Jesus. So there's this book of the law of book of Jewish law called Talmud, and a few words describe Annas, and the words written in the book said that woe to the family of Annas, they were like the hiss of the serpent. Their whole family are high priests and they are in charge of the treasury, but they used rods to beat the people. So they are extremely evil people. So Annas, we know that he must be someone who is very cruel and harsh. So he had very long-lasting enmity against Jesus because he had been hearing about Jesus' ministry, his sermons, and the miracles he performed. And so Caiaphas was his son-in-law. And verse 14, Caiaphas was the one who had prophesied before, know that it would be good if one man died for the people. It doesn't mean that he recognized Jesus as the Messiah to save his people. He just spoke from the political point of view. And back then in the Old Testament, and before Jesus finished his work of death and resurrection, now Caiaphas made this prophecy, and he also didn't understand his own prophecy. So, but his thought is, this one man must die, otherwise the Jews will perish. And so from here, you will know that right from the beginning, the evil schemes of these people made our Lord Jesus will never receive a just sentence, because behind this is the work of the prince of the world. And verse 15, Simon Peter and another disciple were following Jesus. And who was this disciple? Now, this is the book of John. So this another disciple refers to John. And because this disciple was known to the high priest, he went with Jesus into the high priest courtyard. So now we knew that John actually knew the high priest. We didn't know why, because the Bible didn't explain why the high priest knew John, but perhaps John and his father, they were fishermen. Perhaps they always brought the best fish or the freshest fish to the high priest's family. I'm not sure, maybe this is one of the reasons. So they knew each other. So John knew the high priest, and then verse 16, but Peter had to wait outside at the door. The other disciple, who was known to the high priest, meaning John, came back, spoke to the girl on duty there, and brought Peter in. Now Peter, he still had his own human flesh. And that the human flesh did not just refer to anger, but human flesh refers to the weak temperament of human. So Peter just a while ago had cut the high priest's servant's ear, and now he had been following Jesus up to the house of the high priest, and so he still had his own human flesh. On one hand, he was impulsive. On the other hand, he was also fearful. So this was how a person about to be consumed by the devil looked like. And verse 17, you are not one of his disciples, are you? The girl at the door asked Peter. And he replied, I am not. So that's the first time he denied Christ. Maybe he didn't even think about it, and so he immediately reacted. But we knew that's because of his fear in his heart. And verse 18, it was cold, and the servants and officials stood around a fire they had made to keep warm. Peter also was standing with them, warming himself. So we must try to imagine the scene. Yeah, the weather was very cold, but it's not just cold. Perhaps Peter was also afraid to be alone, so that he's afraid to be singled out and recognized. So when you're afraid, you will tend to go into the crowd. So in other Gospels, we read that Peter was sitting among the crowds so that he would not be singled out and recognized. So sometimes, when we are weak, we are just very sneaky and afraid. And so at such moments, we have no choice but helplessly fall into the trap of Satan. So we can think of many things. Sometimes when we read the Bible, we need to think about it from different perspectives. So the Bible wants to tell us the entire state of Peter. He was he appeared to be very brave a while ago when he cut the servant's ear, but now he wanted to follow Jesus. Maybe he wanted to save Jesus. So our spiritual battle is not done, or our spiritual battle cannot be won by human courage or wits, because all these things could not overpower Satan. Because when Satan oppressed the human heart, our heart will melt. Now, Jesus was about to be questioned by the high priest, and then Peter, he was being questioned by who? By a very lowly servant. And then he just said, "No, no, I'm not with him." So we knew that his heart had melted. So in the environment, there are indeed the work of the forces of darkness. So like right now, we are in the phase 2 heightened alert. I'm not sure whether anyone came to church with a fearful heart. So when you are so fearful, you may stumble. So if you pray, you receive a firm heart. You want to worship the Lord in the name of the Lord, and so your heart will be guarded. So I told my brethren, if you are afraid, you don't come. You just receive the message at home. But we have been through a lot, and so we are very clear that when we gather in the name of the Lord will keep us. So I'm just describing the state of our human hearts when we are under temptation. And verse 19, meanwhile, the high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples and his teaching. So here it says, the high priest, and he is Annas and not Caiaphas, because in the eyes of all people, they still view Annas as the high priest, because he had been the high priest for about 10 years in the past. So what was he asking? So he's asking about Jesus' teaching, and he asks, who are your accomplices? Who are your disciples? So these are ways to persecute people. So what Satan wanted to do is to attack the teaching and the person. So when I was caught in China for preaching the gospel, the police came and they said, you know, this teaching came from the Western countries. So they want to oppress the teaching and claim that this is heresy. And so when we are being repatriated to our country, the China police, they went searching for people who are following the Life Church, and they sent them for questioning at the police station. So the people of the world, they will attack the ideology and teaching. So this is related to humans' belief. So the world is turned around by beliefs. So only Christians have the truth, and the Satan wanted to deny and remove the truth, and also those who are preaching the truth. So those of us who know the Bible, when we look at the world, we know the ways of the world, what the world is attacking. So after you read the Bible, you become a wise person. Do not just read very quickly, but you must understand how the Bible wanted to reveal the state of the human heart. And verse 20, I have spoken openly to the world, Jesus replied. I always taught in synagogues or at the temple where all the Jews come together. I said nothing in secret. Why question me? Ask those who heard me. Surely they know what I said. So our Lord Jesus' reply was not that he's uncooperative, but he wanted to bring out his special right. And what does he mean? In the Jewish law, they say that if you arrest a person without evidence or without witnesses, then you must release the person. But we know all these high priests, they are not, they do not want to call on witnesses. They just want to abuse their power. So our Lord Jesus, you can question anyone. You ask around. I've been very open in the synagogues and temple in my teaching, so you can find anyone to ask. So our Jesus is very upright and open, and in his sermons, he didn't please men. He just let his yes be yes, no be no. And so his teaching is light, the light that human lives need. And so to those who reject his teaching, there's only one reason for their rejection, because they live in darkness and they love darkness and they are not willing to come into light. And when they hear the teachings of Jesus, his teachings provoke them, and so they refuse to repent. And so those of you who preach the truth, there will be people who hate you, because they are those who refuse to repent. So strangely, they will have this kind of enmity. So, in the entire Israel, this was the state of those in high power among Israel. But the normal people, they are weak. They are powerless. And some people, they also cannot recognize the evil of those in power in Israel because they are hypocrites. So, verse 22, when Jesus said this, one of the officials nearby struck him in the face. Is this the way you answer the high priest? He demanded. And so that was the beginning of how they ill-treated Jesus. So as the leaders of Israel, they just abused their authority. They didn't obey God's law. They have also lost their conscience. And when such people, they became leaders, that's the most terrible thing. And they will slowly bring their family members, those and their supporters, and they will put them in places of power, and slowly they will just become very autocratic, and they will become dictators. And so when the people of God, they left God, and when they got corrupted, they will be in the same way as people of the world, because sin is the same. What I'm trying to say is the church, we ourselves, we must reflect. And verse 23, if I said something wrong, Jesus replied, testify as to what is wrong. But if I spoke the truth, why did you strike me? Then Annas sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. So from here, we know they had no evidence to charge Jesus. So they cannot find evidence among people or in among circumstances. So they just went against their conscience to charge Jesus. So the family of Annas is the family of high priests, and they represent today the ugliness of church leadership. So in the history of church, Roman Catholic, they repeated the same mistake. So they handed such absolute power to the Pope. So this power is so great that it can even put people to death or drive people out. So the church, besides the Bible, in the medieval history, we must learn not to repeat the same mistake. Now, church discipline is different from papal authority. Of course, we need to have church discipline. If someone sins in the church, if someone preached the wrong teaching, then the church must have certain discipline. There must be a stand in the church. Some people, they secretly come comes to the church to spread false teachings, or some people they sin and they refuse to repent, you must temporarily remove their position in the church in order to protect everyone. So you need to exercise and practice God's righteousness. But proper authority is, if you do not support me, I will gang up with a few others to remove you. So this is something very evil. And I've seen certain such things in the church. I myself also experienced such things. Because when humans, we are wounded, when humans became self-conceited, they refuse to reflect upon themselves, and they, so they gather people who support them to oust people who oppose them, to oust people opposing them. So how about our next generation? We need to keep guarding the purity and the righteousness of the church. Sometimes without evidence, without sufficient witnesses, and with only a few supporters, you just pin down people's sin. That's not what we should do. Now we have 4 overseers and 2 elders are about to join us. Of course, all of us are in the process. And the 4 overseers, we have been through 10 over years of the church, and we pray over matters. And we do not just discuss among ourselves, we also seek the views of other of the congregation, and we pray again. And so in the overseers, we never try to do the voting system where 3 against 1, but each of us, we pray over certain things till we, every one of us, share the same perspective on certain issue. Of course, sometimes when there are certain conflicting ideas, it's also good because people come from different angles. But eventually, everyone must follow the righteousness and holiness of God in our decision and actions. So everyone's prayer over a matter is very important. Now, we must understand that humans, we are fallen. It's very easy for humans to become corrupted and only focus on your own emotions and opinions. I cannot say that we are perfect. We must find a perfect and God-pleasing. And now this church also do not just keep talking about love and forbearance, and then everyone just commit adultery here and there, very messy. We shouldn't be just saying do not hurt relationships. But then if that's the case, where is the church discipline? So we must understand that where is the bitter root of the entire Israel? We knew that when our Lord came, the leaders of the holy temple or the political power, they are so corrupted to the extent that when the one who is kindest and without sin, they want to put him to death for their own selfish interests. You will see that later on, Pilate, he washed his hands. He had certain superficial actions, but all this eventually, it tells us that they don't care about God's work, such that they even crucified the sinless person. So you ask Jesus, he was sinless, why did he have to go through all these things? When you see all these sins, you must remember your own sins, because Jesus went through all this for your sins, and you are sinful. And so when he was being led to crucifixion, he was silent without a word, like a silent sheep lamb, because he had to bear all this injustice because for your sake and for my sake. And that was what the book of John wanted to emphasize. Our Lord Jesus, the Son of God, that was what he did for us. So we don't talk too much about all these evil people. Now we will look at the blessed Peter. And so verse 25. Simon Peter stood warming himself, and he was asked, "You're not one of his disciples, are you?" He denied it, saying, "I am not." And one of the high priest's servants, a relative of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, challenged him, "Didn't I see you with him in the olive grove? And again Peter denied it, and at that moment a rooster began to crow. Now if you have the Bible, you look at Mark chapter 14. Mark chapter 14. Verse 71. And how did Peter deny Christ? And then verse 71, Peter began to call down curses on himself, and he swore to them, "I don't know this man you're talking about." And verse 72, immediately the rooster crowed the second time. Then Peter remembered the word Jesus had spoken to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will disown me three times." And he broke down and wept. So my dear brothers and sisters, now I have a very important conclusion here. Here it wanted to show not just the failure of Peter's faith, but it wanted to prove that Peter's courage had failed. Many a times we thought our faith will lead to courage. Some people, they have courage, but without faith, they are even weirder. But I'm talking about real faith right now, not fake one. Some people, they thought that as long as I have faith, I will have courage. So they keep praying, "God, please give me faith. If you give me faith, I will boldly preach your gospel." But that may not necessarily be so, because sometimes we may have faith, but not courage. So we asked, when Peter denied Christ, in his heart, is he still believing that Jesus is the Son of God? Yes, he believed. He still had that relationship with God within him. Of course, there is this relationship. Otherwise, why will he wept bitterly? So he still believed, but in his heart was seized and gripped by fear. And so he had no courage to confess or acknowledge the Lord. And we think of Prophet Elijah. He indeed had certain faith and courage, and then he killed 850 false prophets. But after that, when Jezebel wanted to kill Elijah, he still had faith in the Lord, but he lost his courage. So he fled, and he came to Mount Horeb and responded to the Lord, "You know, God, I'm the only one left. All other prophets, they have died. I'm the only one left." Now, if he had no faith, why would he run to the mountain of God to find God? But although he had faith, but his courage had melted. So what is courage? Courage is an expression of this active power based on what we believed. So when we acknowledge our faith publicly, that is a form of courage. Or when we are with non-believers, we share our values, our morals, our Christians. You know, you say that we Christians, we do not do such things, or we don't accept such views. When you want to express all this, you really need the faith, but also the courage brought about by faith. So when we look at ourselves, we realize that many a times we are not like this. We had the faith, but not the courage. And so a lot of times when we have the faith, but not courage, we feel very shameful in our hearts. And so we find excuses for ourselves. And we say that now when we are with the non-believers, we must have wisdom. We must not turn them off. We cannot be too straightforward when talking about our faith. Otherwise, they may not like it. So they use the wisdom as a form of excuse for ourselves. You have been a believer for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, 20 years. You have been talking about wisdom, but you never talk about faith and boldly preaching the gospel. So your whole life's faith, you cannot lift up your head to testify for the Lord before people of the world. At the end, your conscience will charge you to say that you are a timid and fearful Christian. But many people will say that, yes, Pastor, we acknowledge that we are like this. We only have faith but not courage. When people oppose me, when my parents oppose my baptism, I just cannot have courage to overcome. But so listen carefully. So faith does not first make us master our courage, but first makes us turn to the Lord and bring our weaknesses and helplessness before the Lord. It's not that faith means you must first show your courage to others, because if you want to first show your courage, you will fail. But the purest faith will first make you come before the Lord, draw near to God. And so faith does not move up our faith does not stir our human flesh to do anything impulsively for the Lord, like Peter, but faith makes us pray with sober mind in times of crisis. So in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus had been telling his disciples, you must be watchful and pray. But the disciples just dozed off, and so they just suddenly took their sword, and the disciples are very easily attacked by the devil, and yet they are not aware of that state of theirs. But someone with faith, they will know that, you know, my faith is not right, my emotions is not right, my whole person is not right. I need to quiet down, I need to wrestle with God, and I need to draw near to God. So we pastors, the most important thing for us is not just about serving. But if my heart is not right, how can I preach? Of course, I still can preach. But after preaching, it's not beneficial to me. So my dear brothers and sisters, the spiritual person will know he has to guard his heart above all else. Because our human life is very complicated. Sometimes we indeed have faith, but we lack wisdom or we lack courage. So again, faith will bring you before the Lord. So the spiritual person will know the work of Satan and the power of Satan. When Satan oppresses humans with his power, and the tool of Satan's oppression is the world. So the words of people around you, the environment around you, many a times you hear in the world human eloquence, you see human wisdom and knowledge, then your heart melted away and you dare not testify for the Lord. Actually, at those moments, your heart should look more to the Lord, and that is called the spiritual battle. If you don't pray, then you just depend on your own flesh, you depend on your own wisdom, you want to debate with people, and then you will fail. Of course, our pastor also acknowledged that we have failed many times. Many a times we have faith but not courage, and the Lord will have mercy on us because He knows that we are just flesh and dust. But we must not just remain at that level. We must ask the Lord to have mercy on us, but also ask the Lord to help us. Because what is impossible to men is possible with God. May God use what Peter had gone through to help us understand not just the apostles' encounter. Now, all the four Gospels talk about the denial of Peter. And when we reflected upon it, we realized that he is man, so are we. He is weak, and so are we many a times. But the Lord loves us, and He will not abandon us. Peter is totally different from Judas. One was kept by the Lord. The other one was rejected by the Lord. And so we are all people whom the Lord will guard and keep. We just need to humble ourselves, and the Lord will lift us up. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you today for teaching us with your word what you have gone through, all the injustice, and you are being denied by your own disciples. And in all these things, we know you went through because of us. You want to bear all our transgressions. Lord, please teach us so that we from the later generations, when we read all these records in the Bible, we will be anointed by the Holy Spirit. And in our heart, we will have a lot of reflections. And we know that, Lord, we must come before you because we are merely dust. But yet, God, you have given such glory upon us who are dust, so that we can preach your gospel, so that our life can live for you, so that in you we can find eternal life. Lord, we thank you. And today we bring faith, and we also bring the courage that comes from faith. And today we gather in your church, in your name. Lord, please bless us and bless those who are receiving the message online, so that in your suffering, every word from the Bible can, and every word of the sermon can hit our heart, so that it became the driving force for us to follow you throughout our life. Lord, we thank you and we pray in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.